this afternoon, Tom.
62 degrees here at Walmart and Taylor's. How's your day going?
It's going pretty good right now. I'm sitting in the car, enjoying a little bit of sunshine and some nice warm weather, just like everybody else.
Yeah, 1,000%. And there is a pretty good breeze, but they forecasted 28-mile-an-hour winds today, so I'm not overwhelmingly surprised that it's windy out. But even at that, it's gorgeous.
I agree. I will take this all day, minus what we had the past couple weeks.
I got a tailgater up here in front of me. I guess I'm going to have to tap my brake lights, and or behind me, I should say. Wake him up a little. Well, you working today?
I am. I usually step out anywhere between 12 and 1 o'clock to get away from work and chat on the radio a little bit.
It's a good day for that, I'll tell you. Oh, that's my radar detector. That's a sheriff coming up, evidently, or highway patrol. I don't know which one. Even the police. They're all in the same band nowadays, K.A.
Yeah, haven't heard you in a while, or I haven't been on the radio either. You guys doing okay over there?
I went down and saw the doctor there a while ago, and we come back to Aldi's and Walmart for some things. And the scheduler's not there, so when she gets back, she's going to schedule me for some kidney surgery coming up. But I'd just soon get it over with.
Well, I hope everything goes smooth with no hiccups for you when that time comes.
Well, we're here by the new Taylor's Fire Department. Man, they got a beautiful ladder truck out there, I'll tell you, and a beautiful facility, which they probably deserve.
The fire department over there on Wade Hampton going away from the Walmart?
That's affirmative. There's a brand new looking Greer ladder truck out in front of it. And the controls on it look rather complex. But that fire station is really nice looking.
I have driven down that way, but I really haven't paid attention to the fire department. So on my next journey out that direction, I'll be sure to take a look at it.
On the south side of the road, I call it the south side anyways. Down here, the streets are all crooked. Up in Kansas, they were north and south and east and west. Can't depend on that down here. Every two or three blocks, they change names.
Agreed. That is definitely one thing I loved about Salt Lake City. Everything was on a grid, so you knew north, south, east, west, and where to go. Big mountains were a specific direction, little mountains were another direction, and you just kind of knew where to go by looking at the mountains.
City. Well, the nearest thing that I can think of there is we used to fly down to the Salton Sea out there in California and do radar runs on a target down at the end of the Salton Sea at night.
Sounds like a fun adventure right there. Were you a pilot of some sort?
I was a flight crew member. I was in a carrier plane at that time, and I was running seat number 3. There was 4 seats, pilot, co-pilot, and then seat 3 and seat 4, and I was running radar, and I would guide the pilot into the target, and then at 2 miles, he'd light the target up with a 70 million candle power arc light out in the wing, and then he'd shut that off and he'd drop a photopod of 100 million candle power, which shook the airplane, and take a picture of it to show them that we were successful at running in on it. It was like simulating a running in on a submarine, mainly.
Wow. All that stuff fascinates me, and I just have to say wow with the stuff that we did back then with the technology we had. It was absolutely amazing.
fun. It was work, don't get me wrong, but the flying was a lot of fun. Later on, I graduated to the seat 4, and I did acoustical warfare, but in the left seat, you had radar, electronic countermeasures, magnetic anomaly detections, and sniffer. And then in the number 4 seat, you had the acoustical warfare gear called Julie and Jezebel.
Still sounds awesome and fun. If you don't mind my asking, what years did you do that?
56 to 70 in that region. I was flying with them in 67, if I remember rightly. It's been a long time ago. And training in VS-41, and then I went to VS-33 for my home squadron in Naval Air Station San Diego, and flew off the carrier USS Bennington out of Long Beach. But, it was fun chasing submarines. You flew a lot of low-level stuff. Minimums were 100 feet in the daytime and 300 at night.
Oh, that's pretty low. Or is that still considered a little bit above, a little bit higher than what is considered low to the normal Joe?
This is N0TR. Yeah, I got a friend on the radio here, Jim, and KO4LAO. He was in the Air Force. He said, we never flew that low. He flew tankers. But, that's really extremely low. I swear I've seen water vapor coming off the propellers. But we did that in a 4-engine turboprop also, and it was 99-foot, 8-inch wingspan on the P-3s when I transferred up to my brother's squadron. But it was a lot of fun because you were monitoring the sonobuoys in the water that monitored the submarines. You dropped buoys in the water.
R-4-A-A-E. Yeah, that's still so fascinating how all that stuff works and how we developed it. But it's awesome to hear that you had first-hand experience doing it, which is awesome. I enjoy hearing things like that.
Interesting. A lot of studying. But it was very interesting and very necessary back then. Still is. They still do that to this day. And the Russians had the largest submarine force in the world at that time, Stephen.
Learning all sorts of stuff today. I did not know that fact about the submarine force over there in Russia.
It was off of our coasts at all times, not like the German U-boats. If you ever get a chance to go to Chicago to the Museum of Science and Industry, we captured a German U-boat, which is the only man of war ever captured intact. The Navy did, and it was down in, if I remember rightly, the Bahamas, and they went aboard it and disarmed the scuttling charges that were going to blow it up, and they'd opened the valves to flood it, and then they towed it back into, I guess, Chesapeake Bay, and later on in life, they towed it up to the St. Lawrence Seaway and down to Chicago. I always wondered how they got that submarine in Chicago. But you can go through that German U-boat, and it you'll understand then why back then they called them pig boats.
Oh, about Chicago. I may have to take a trip there in the next couple months. What was the name of that museum again?
Industry and Science. It's well known in Chicago, and it's I like museums like that. But you can go through it, and the air quality in that aboard those was horrible. They were breathing diesel fumes and all kinds of stuff. This is N0TR, and they would run on the surface at night, and then they'd go submerged during the daytime if there was a threat, of course. But submerged, they could only run, 6, 7, 8, 9 knots, which a knot is a mile and eight per hour. And on the surface, they could run about 25 knots, and a lot of them had 20,000-mile range. The Germans were well ahead of us at that time.
Sounds like it, based on those numbers there. That's interesting that it can run faster on top of water instead of being submerged. KR-4AAE.
Still the fact, even with the nuclear submarines, now back then there was only three classes of Soviet submarines. It was the Hotel, Echo, and November class, so we called it the Hen class. And the Soviets released them before they got the shielding and all, I guess you'd call it, to protect their crews from the radiation sickness. So there'd always be a mothership within 400 miles of a Soviet nuclear boat. But the other ones, no. But the Germans, during World War II, they'd set off of the East Coast, and we didn't have sense enough to tell them to shut the lights off, like in New York City and all along the coast. And they'd see the silhouettes of the ships coming out to cross the Atlantic, and they would sit there and sink them right off of our coast.
Wow, that would have been a good one to do, shut the lights off while the boats are coming out.
I did that for many, many years. That's why you see these Jeeps with the headlights half covered up and that. That's so you can't see them from above. But, they darken, Great Britain and that. And there are no lights at night. It's just made a big target. But people don't think about that with submarines. But the merchant marine guys, thousands of them got killed, and Navy guys manning the ships, they were sinking them about as fast as we could build them. But nowadays it's still, if you run fast, you're noisy, Stephen. So you don't want a submarine going fast. And these nuclear subs that have ballistic missiles, they'll go out thousands of miles into the ocean, and then they'll sit there and run a pattern at about 6 knots, so they don't make any noise, so that nobody ever knows where they're at if they have to launch those missiles. And they'll do that for 3 months at a time, and then come back in.
I tell you what, I am learning all sorts of awesome stuff today. I like it. Thanks for all the info there. I'm sure you've got a lot more to add, too.
Not too much more. Oh, they're running data cables here along our street. And so I'm going very slowly down here so as to not run over anybody. Running new internet cables, I think, and fiber optic stuff. So we are about home, Stephen, but nice talking to you. I hope I didn't bore you to death there, but you seemed like you were interested, so I'll say 73, Stephen. Have a nice day. What was it? KA4AAE or something like that, anyway. Sorry about that. Probably butchered it. This is N02R 73, Stephen.
No worries, Tom. You got most of it right. Yes, all that stuff does, it does interest me, because that knowledge will sooner or later either only be in the history book or on the YouTube somewhere. So thanks for sharing, and anytime I'm on the air and we're chatting, feel free to share away. This is KR4AAE for N0TR, and I will be clear. Gotta get back to the office.
KR4AAE N0TR 73, Stephen. I got it right that time.